You're listening to a podcast from Jubilee Church, Farnham. To find out more, visit www.jubilee.church.
It's great to be back with you after being laid low with whooping cough for some time. Thank you for your prayers. I hope my sermon today won't be too spluttery or filled with coughs, but I might need to take a drink at some point. And if I do cough, I've told T to be on a sort of buzzer finger and mute me, but hopefully none of that's going to happen, but just to let you know. So over the last couple of months, we have launched our Anchors for Activity for this coming year, and they were building, serving, connecting, and reaching. These four words, and we had a bit of explanation for each word, and they are these anchors for activity for us as a church. And up to the Waverley Woods weekend, which is our camp each year, we were in the focus of building. And what we mean by that is building a church of all nations and languages and people groups. And we had, I think 6 or 7 weeks where we focused on that. And then I wasn't there, unfortunately, but the Woods was just a celebration of that. And there were flags, and the Jubilee Got Talent became an international talent festival, and it just sounded so wonderful. And now we pivot. In the last couple of weeks, we've pivoted, not away, but in addition to. So moving on, in a sense, from building to a focus on serving. And we're going to look at various people in the Bible and how their stories and how stories in the Bible can help us be followers of Jesus today. So Sean started a few weeks ago looking at Queen Esther, and then Neil looked last week at the Good Samaritan. And I have to say, and it wasn't recorded for various reasons, but Neil preached the most amazing sermon last week on the Good Samaritan. It was so, so good. And today we're going to look at Tabitha. And perhaps you know her by another name, Dorcas. A Tabitha or Dorcas? I don't know which one's better. But it comes from Acts 9, verse 36, and it says this. In Joppa, there was a disciple named Tabitha. In Greek, her name was Dorcas. A disciple named Tabitha. Who are you? What defines you, and how do you identify? Isn't this one of the most significant concepts in our culture today? Identity, who you are. It draws on such an inner longing, which we all have, to know who we are. And then in today's market, if you like, especially for young people, they're burdened currently with the weight of constructing that sense of identity for themselves. And you see, on our own, as creatures rather than the Creator, we just weren't made for carrying that kind of load. The weight of it is just too much for us as individuals to hold. And I think especially of young people. In Joppa, there was a disciple named Tabitha. You see, Jesus calls you and me to follow him. Lay down your life and find true life in Jesus. And as people who have received Jesus as Lord and Savior, our core identity is now in him. We follow the one we love, and we are loved by our Lord. We do not have to be crushed under the weight of constructing or reinventing ourselves, but rather we find true life in the one who laid down his life for us. A disciple named Tabitha. For you individually, nothing is more important than becoming like Jesus. Nothing. If you have children, the greatest gift you can give them is discipling them to become passionate followers of Jesus. And that starts with being a passionate follower of Jesus yourself. Tabitha was a disciple. And when it comes to serving or reaching or connecting or building, it all begins with being a disciple. None of this will make any sense in the way that the Bible describes it unless you are a disciple. If you are not a follower of Jesus, if you are not a disciple, the offer is here this morning to come to Him and receive forgiveness from Him and new life and become a follower. And when we read the Gospels and we see Jesus engaging with those folks in the earliest of moments of His public ministry, what was His invitation to them? It was, follow me. Simon Peter, Andrew, James, John, Matthew, Philip, the rich young ruler who actually chose not to, and then some unidentified people. Yet all these people had the same invitation. And the invitation to us is the same today. But I think it's hard for us to understand what the ask actually is. Jesus said, follow me. It's one of those aspects of the scripture where the distance and the difference from Jesus' time to our time today is profound. And perhaps the dominant cultural notion that shapes our understanding of what following means currently is social media. Today, when we follow someone, we take an interest in them to some degree. We click the follow button. You get notified of posts, hopefully interesting messages that are from the one that you follow to inspire and amuse and help you with the latest life hack. But if this is our current cultural understanding of what it means to follow someone, I wonder what influence that's having on our perception of what it means to follow Jesus. Because His understanding of what follow me means is radically different. When He said, follow me, it was an invitation and an instruction. It literally meant follow Him. He was an itinerant rabbi that went wandering around from town to town, teaching the kingdom of God, teaching about the rule and reign of God in people's lives. This invitation was not to add something into their lives, like an app or a follow, but rather to leave everything behind. Those early disciples left jobs and homes and families and communities and followed Him. Jesus would literally walk in front of them, lead the way, teach them, show them, live with them, eat with them, and they would learn to be with Jesus, become like Jesus, and do what He did. And that's the way John Mark Comer summarized what it means to be a follower. Learn to be with Jesus, become like Him, and do what He did. Their entire lives centered around Jesus. You see, the invitation to follow Jesus is not an invitation to connect with the world's greatest content creator where you get the world's best life hacks. It's an invitation and an instruction to completely structure your life around Jesus Christ. We are called into a life of apprenticeship, learning the way of Jesus, learning how He did life and living like Him. This is the call on your life and mine. Every single follower of Jesus is called to Him, by Him, and for Him. And you are called to be like Jesus. And we will miss the mark in this life unless we respond to that call. You see, He called Tabitha and she responded. And we actually don't know a great deal about this woman. She's mentioned just a couple of times. Not a great deal is in the extra-biblical material about Tabitha. But just stop and think for a moment how she was recorded in our holy scripture, in our sacred text, for all time. Tabitha was a disciple, a role model of compassion, serving others and looking after the poor. I couldn't think of a higher honor than this, a disciple named Tabitha. And she left everything behind to follow Jesus. But I wonder what goes through your mind when I say those words, she left everything behind to follow Jesus. Sometimes I think we can end up sort of feeling like we aren't quite making the discipleship grade. Jesus' call on our lives is the same as it was 2,000 years ago, but really importantly, how we live out that call is radically different. See, Jesus provides a summary of this life we're called to when he says, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your strength, and with all of your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Love God and love others with absolutely everything that you are. And you see, what's wrapped up in those profound words of Jesus is two battles. The battle for your heart and the battle for your hands. The first battle is the battle for your heart. It's the lordship battle. As Christians, we sometimes use this language of, I gave my heart to Jesus when I was 10 or 20 or whatever age it might be. Yet the battle for the heart is not a one-time past tense deal. That moment in the past when you received Jesus as Lord needs to be lived out and confirmed and demonstrated every day. Excuse me. The battle particularly happens when those two kingdoms collide, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of this world. And the kingdom of this world and the powers behind it will come at us every day in every way, using all that it has at its disposal to try to convince you that the path that you are on does not lead to real life. But let me be clear, this is not two equal and opposite forces where we're wondering who's going to come out on top. The kingdom of God has already started. The devil has been decisively defeated, and the victory of Jesus is assured. And the full revelation of the kingdom of God will come in the new heavens and the new earth when Jesus comes again. Yet the Bible is also so clear that the enemy of our souls, the devil, is prowling around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. And that same scripture says, be alert and watchful. Be of sober mind. Be aware. So how does the devil prowl around roaring? This is the battle of the heart, the lordship battle, every day in every way it can. He does what he's always done. He tries to convince you that God is not good. That God is holding out on you, and that you would be a better judge of what you need in this life than he ever would be. You see, this prowling, roaring lion is one and the same serpent who asked Eve, did God really say? It's a battle of the heart. Did God really say? Is God really good to you? Not just generally, but to you specifically? Is God really going to come through for you in this situation? Would God really love you? You see, in the scripture, the heart is used to describe the essence of a person, the very center, all that we hold dear and cherish and central. What makes you, you? When the Bible uses the heart, that's what it's trying to convey in its language. And the battle of our heart often shows up in unexpected ways, subtly often and disguised, not a full frontal direct assault. Did God really say? The battle of the heart is often a slow burn. It happens whenever your heart, that essence of who you are, and what you desire and what you love is captivated by another vision or a vision of another kingdom. It happens when the things that this world places ultimate value in begin to captivate our hearts and we start to go after those things. It can play out in a multitude of ways. Maybe a desire for money or status or comfort or power or pleasure. These things that the world places either ultimate or very high value in. It happens when the enemy comes to whisper to us in the moments of tragedy and mourning and pain. Is God really good? It happens when we fall into the enemy's age-old temptation. And he says to us, God isn't to be trusted. See, following Jesus, this is the whisper that comes in. Following Jesus won't lead to your best life. Following Jesus won't lead to the truth. And we must keep alert to the schemes of the enemy. The Bible says to us, be sober, be alert, be watchful, and resist and stand firm in the love of our King and his kingdom. It's not that we then try harder and have that white-knuckle discipline to do more in our own strength. We rest in the love of God and the power of the Holy Spirit, which changes our hearts. The battle of the heart each day, every day. And you will be presented in various situations in your life where you will be required to say, Lord, I love you, I trust you, and I want to follow you even there. It's a battle that we face as followers of Jesus, and it happens every day. The battle's been won, and we are tested every day in it. And the second battle is the battle for your hands. If the battle for your heart is the battle to follow the one that you love, the battle for your hands is the battle to do what he does. A disciple named Tabitha, she was always doing good and helping the poor. Do you see how those two flow together? A disciple named Tabitha who was always doing good and helping the poor. One comes out of the other. The lifestyle comes out of the life received. The latter, always doing good and helping the poor, happens because Tabitha is a disciple and follows Jesus. You see, serving is not something we as Christians do so that we can be moral and upright people, doing our bit to help out, so to speak. But rather, being a follower of Jesus means that our life is so oriented around Jesus Christ that serving is intrinsic to us because it is intrinsic to him. Jesus famously said in Matthew chapter 20, verse 25 to 28, he said this, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be your slave, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life for a ransom for many." Jesus repeatedly showed in his words and his actions that he came to save. And that was part of his calling. Now, Jesus had a unique calling to come and seek and to save the world and redeem them. And that's not our calling. We can't do that. But each one of us has a unique calling and vocation in God. Each one of us. And the opportunity in front of us is to discover what that is and how to live that out, and it'll always involve serving others. See, the opportunity this morning is to pursue that calling of God. The scripture is so clear. God has given each of his disciples, each of his people, gifts for the building up of the church and for their good. And your calling, your purpose, finds its ultimate fulfillment as it builds up the body of Christ. But please hear me here. The fulfillment of your calling as you build up the body of Christ is not limited to what happens here in church. Most of your time is out there. And that's where God has called you to be. Your job, your family, your social life, your hobbies are all opportunities to fulfill the calling of God on your life. They are not separate or disconnected from that calling, but rather they are the very context within which you fulfill it. If you are a teacher, being the most grace-filled, kind, patient teacher who prays for your students and looks for opportunities to show God's love and point them to Jesus is fulfilling your calling and building up the body of Christ. If you're a business owner, how you run your business, what business you say yes to and what business you say no to, how you treat your employees, how you spend your profits, how you look after your family is the context where the battle of the heart and the hand goes on day by day and where you build up the body of Christ. If you're a stay-at-home parent or carer, if you're a doctor or a nurse or a train driver or a counselor or a grandparent, a banker, a lawyer, whatever it is that you do, that is the context within which God is calling you to live out your purpose in Him. Displaying that your first love is Jesus, serving with joy, loving ferociously, and pointing everyone to Jesus through words and action. And as I said earlier, church is not the only place you should serve, but what an opportunity we do have to serve right here. The church that you call home should always be an important part of how and where you serve others. And so many of you do serve at Jubilee, and we're so grateful for that. Our culture here has always been one of come in and join us. Get stuck in. Have a go. Find out where you fit and discover the joy of serving others. And what amazing opportunities there are to serve others and through what we do here at Jubilee. Sunday morning can't happen without many people coming together, all pulling in the same direction and making church happen for the glory of God. And yet what we do each week is not simply functional. We're not a volunteer events business. We are the people of God, fulfilling our callings to be like Jesus, serve one another and love one another and make God known in the world. And as we serve here at Jubilee, we're doing just that, fulfilling our calling, being like Jesus, doing what He does, and making Him known in the world. And what an opportunity we have. Think about the children's work, to help nurture the children of Jubilee towards discovering Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Does that make your heart come alive? If it does, contact Evane, and she would love to hear from you. Maybe it's the older children, so our youth, and you really want to help them navigate this complex and confusing world and discover Jesus in the midst of that. If that makes your heart come alive, talk to Sarah. Do you like tech and good sound? Are you wired that way and you like problem solving on the fly? Talk to Ben and see if you can help out on the PA team. Do you want to see the church on a Sunday morning being the most welcoming, organized, and easy for visitors and regulars to engage with? Then talk to me about heading up our Sunday ops. What about journeying with people to become more like Jesus? All of these opportunities are there for us as people to step into the calling that God has on our lives. And He has given you a calling, and He's called you into this church for a purpose and for a reason. It's way beyond that you might happen to be in the locality of the church and it's convenient. We have an understanding of church where God calls people together for their good and His glory, and there's purpose in each one of it. The most common analogy, if you like, word picture in the Bible for the church is the body and each member of the body making up the body. And when one member isn't there doing the role it should be doing, the body isn't as glorious as it can be. And that's for all of us to get hold of. And the opportunities are in all sorts of shapes and sizes. setup, welcome, hospitality, the kids ministry, the den, refresh cafe, worship, growth groups, whatever it is, we want to help connect you into opportunities and allow you to serve, to build and to bless and to fulfill your calling in God. You see, the battle for your hand flows out of the battle of your heart. And we want you to be standing in the good of both of those battles, standing firm in the power of the Holy Spirit, being a disciple of Jesus who is always doing good, serving others and helping the poor. It's a challenge, isn't it? That battle of the heart. How do we answer that question when someone says, "Who are you? Tell me about yourself." What's the first thing that comes out? And is it, "I'm a follower of Jesus"? Or is that just too ghastly to think of? Is that just like, how would that be in a conversation? A bit awkward, wouldn't it be? If we're real, be a little bit awkward, I imagine. But why? And what's defining us? And that's not the only way that we demonstrate we're a follower of Jesus. I get that. I really understand that. But how many other things just fire out before, and perhaps being a follower of Jesus sometimes isn't mentioned? It's a challenge to all of us, isn't it? The battle for the heart. But Jesus invites us into this life. Come and follow me. He doesn't say, think in a particular way. That's what it means. He says, follow me. Live your life like I live, like I've shown you how to live, like my scriptures show you how to live. Inhabit that life. Structure your whole life around living that way and being an apprentice of Jesus. And what I want us to do as we come back to worship and communion is let's take a moment and ask the Holy Spirit to speak to us about these two battles. In the battle for your heart, I'd say ask the Spirit to search you and show you in His kindness and in His grace, is there something that I'm holding on that I need to release to you? Is there an area where I'm struggling to trust you? And my bet is it's not a question of is. We're all a work in progress. It's just simply what. Where are we holding on to the control in our life? Because it's just too much, feels too much to let go of that. Could be I've let go before and it's really gone bad. I don't know what it is, but is there something? Ask the Spirit and let His grace and His Spirit work in you. And then let Him speak to you for the battle of your hands, how to serve inside and outside the church. Be intentional in this year of intentionality about those two battles, the battle of your heart and the battle for your hands. Be known as a disciple who is always doing good, serving others and helping the poor. This is a call to follow someone in a particular way of life, not simply to think certain beliefs. That's a crucial part of it. But it's not all of it. It's to a particular life following someone. And that's the opportunity and that's the call on our lives this morning. So if I can have the band back up. I'm going to pray. And I'd encourage all of us to just stay in worship with that prayer in our hearts and our heads. Lord, in the battle for the heart, where am I still holding on? Where am I struggling to trust you? And Lord, where do you want me to serve and fulfill all that you've called me to? And as we pray and as we ask the Spirit to come and work amongst us, then in the right time, when you're ready, then come, the communion table is ready. Come up and partake of Him again this morning. So, Lord, I thank you for your Spirit amongst us. Lord, I thank you that you've called us to a very specific life following you. That your scriptures say that we need to deny ourselves, pick up our cross and follow you daily. Help us to know how to do that in each of our lives, Lord. Could be radically different in the different people that are amongst us here this morning. I pray, Holy Spirit, come speak to people this morning about your calling and your vocation upon their lives. Lord, you've called them and given them a plan and a purpose. And I pray, help us to see that more clearly this morning if we're struggling to. Help us to be constantly alert and watchful to the schemes of the enemy, to the whispers of the father of lies, who will try and divert our hearts away from your goodness and your love and your grace. Help us, come, Holy Spirit, fill your people's hearts this morning with your love and your grace and your mercy and your goodness. I pray, bind up the brokenhearted. I pray, ease the pressure on people feeling at their absolute limit. Heal the sick amongst us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Give us the courage and the faith to step out and follow you. As Neil encouraged us last week, to step into messy, complex lives that can be costly. I feel the Spirit of God, and particularly on the battle for the heart, wants to speak to people, comfort people, assure him of his presence with you. That he's never left you. And his word to you is, trust me and follow me. Holy Spirit, give encounters with the living Christ in people's lives. I pray for breakthrough. I pray for perseverance and sustaining. I pray for power. I pray for healing of past hurts and wounds. Jesus, he's come for us, for you and for me. He's paid everything for us. And he wants you. And he is about transforming you to become more like him. Come, Holy Spirit, I pray. Lord, as we continue to worship, I ask, work in our hearts. Let us open ourselves, even with arms open wide, as a physical gesture to receiving from you and being open to your Holy Spirit. As we worship you, Lord, come into our hearts. Change us and shape us. Speak to us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Stand, why don't you stand and let's pray and worship. When you're ready, please come for communion.
Here is where I lay it down, every burden, every crown. This is my surrender, this is my surrender. Here is where